bread. I just want to say thank you. Before worship started, I had an opportunity to pray with Bree, and she prayed for me. And so no matter what else happens here tonight, I could fall down on my face right now. I feel blessed just to hear the faith of that young lady. As you're turning in your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 17, a few weeks ago we watched a movie called Woodlawn, and Woodlawn is based on a true story. And really, on the surface, it looks like it's a movie about race reconciliation, and it is. But beyond that, it's a movie about revival. See, the reason why the walls fell at Woodlawn and African Americans and white people and the races were able to work so well together is because revival came. Do you hear that? Revival came. Brothers and sisters, I'm confident that in this room here tonight, all the ingredients for the next great revival are present. Do you believe that? All the ingredients are present here tonight. All we need is one spark. Will you be that spark? Will you be that match? The title of tonight's message goes along with that video clip, and simply it's Giants Will Fall. 1 Samuel 17 is a story of David and Goliath, and it's a story that you've heard a million times. It's a story that not only you and I have heard so many times, but people outside the church, you may not know anything about the Bible, but everybody can tell you about David and Goliath. Tonight, I want us to look with fresh eyes at this important story. This is not just a nursery rhyme or a children's tale. This is an actual event that took place. These are real people. This was a real battlefield. Tonight, I would like for us to look with fresh eyes. Last week I was nervous about the message because of the topic, and tonight I'm a little nervous about the message because of the familiarity of the topic. I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes when I hear something over and over and over again, I get numb to the truth of it. Tonight I pray that we would hear and we would see with fresh eyes. 1 Samuel 17 is a long narrative chapter, and lots of details in this chapter. And I don't want us to miss everything, but for sake of time, I want to talk about some specific passages in this chapter. So what I'd like to do is for us to just to walk through portions of this chapter and then go back and talk about three truths that David knew that helped him slay the giant in his life. Brothers and sisters, giants will fall. Let's start in verse 1. We're not going to read all the verses in this chapter, but we're going to read a lot of them. Verse 1, now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Shaco, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Shaco and Azekah in Ephraim's Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, He was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that I may fight, that we may fight together." In verse 11, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. What's happening is that the army of Israel and the Philistine army are encamped on two different mountaintops, and in the middle there's a valley. And there's this champion. If you have a pencil or you underline in your Bible, I would underline that word champion, because it's used very rarely in the Bible. Maybe this is the only time that this phrase is used, and it simply means a man in between. This giant of a man goes out, and he says, let's settle this once and for all. You send out a man to fight me. If you win, then the Philistines will serve you. If I win, then you'll bow down and serve us. And the people of God were afraid. Skip down to verse 31. Goliath did this for 40 days and 40 nights, and somewhere about that time, from Bethlehem, a father sent his son named David. Sent him with lunch, with supplies to his brothers, who wanted him to deliver these supplies. When David comes on the scene, everything changes. Now, when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. David had heard this Philistine talk and blaspheme God and the armies of Israel. And so he started asking questions. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He started asking questions. What's going to happen if somebody goes out and beats this guy? What's going to happen to the man that beats him? And everybody was afraid, so they started murmuring in the camp. And Saul heard that somebody might be willing to fight. Now, when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it, and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them." So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. David says he's going to fight this giant of a man, and Saul says, no, you can't do it, you're just a little kid. Saul agrees to let David go out, and he puts his armor on him, and it's too big for David. David takes it off, and he goes out to battle with a staff, 5 smooth stones, and a sling. Verse 41, and we'll finish the story. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Verse 48. So it was, then the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David. Then David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in David's hand. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath, and killed him, and cut off his head with it. We don't read that part in Sunday school very much, do we? Cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley and the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell among the road of Shiram, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Would you pray with me? Father, this evening I pray that we would see this story and we would know. God, we would know that there is a God in Israel. God, that we would know that there is a God at South Park. That we would know that there is a God in our own home. God, I pray that you would take my feeble words. God, communicate your great words. Father, I pray that tonight that you would spark a revival. Father, I love you and thank you. It's the name of Christ that I pray. Amen. 1 Samuel 17, giants will fall. David knew 3 truths that if you and I can keep in mind, 3 truths that you and I, if we know and we put into practice, giants will fall. One thing that I don't want to do is I don't want to allegorize this story, because this is an actual event, these are real people, but there's so many applications for our lives and for the people of God. And so I want to try to point out some of those things. 3 truths for slaying giants in your life. 3 truths that David knew. The first truth is that there is no enemy too strong. There is no enemy too strong. We see in the first, in the opening verses here, that the Philistines send out this giant of a man named Goliath, and he is a foe that none of us would want to meet on the battlefield. This man, if he was standing here before us today, some say he might range up anywhere from 11 feet to 9 feet. On average, people say that he was about 9 feet, 9 inches tall. That's a big dude. That is a big guy that you would not want to meet on the battlefield for sure. Most of the time when you think of really tall people like that, I always think of basketball players. And basketball players are really tall, but they're usually really skinny, right? Not Goliath. This was a giant of a man. Even the armor that he wore, just the coat of mail that he wore, some people say was about 125 pounds. Just the tip of his spear was 15 pounds. The shaft of the spear was anywhere from 2 inches in diameter to 2.5 inches. And given his height, it was probably about 7 feet long. This was not only a tall man, this was a powerful man. He was able to wield these objects of war with ease. He was a warrior. He was a mighty man. And he came out and he challenged the people of God. He defied them. He was their champion. He was the champion of the Philistines, the man in between. And the man who should have went out to fight Goliath, King Saul. Saul was probably the closest person in camp who was close to Goliath's height. The scriptures tell us that Saul was head and shoulders above everybody else in Israel. But verse 11 tells us that instead of going out to fight, it says, when Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and they were greatly afraid. I think that's what Goliath intended to do. I think when he went out in his battle armor and he started mocking the people of God, I think he fully intended to cause fear in their hearts. This word dismayed literally means a brokenness, being broken with fear. Have you ever been that afraid? The idea of the fear that's talked about here is a verb. You know, you can imagine these people, when Goliath says, send out a champion, you can imagine these people going, not me, I'm not going. And he's shouting for 40 days and 40 nights. Send me a man who's willing to fight. And he's taunting. We learn from David that there's no enemy that's too strong. You may not face I hope you don't face a Goliath-sized man on a battlefield, but the reality is that you and I face types of Goliath all the time. Whether it's a bully in school, whether it's a fear that you have. Your Goliath may not come carrying a sword or a shield. He brandishes blades of unemployment, abandonment, sexual abuse, or depression. Your giant doesn't parade up and down the hills of Ella. He prances through your office, your bedroom, your classroom. He brings bills you cannot pay, grades you can't make, people you can't please, whiskey you can't resist, pornography you can't refuse, a career you can't escape, a past you can't shake, and a future you can't face. You see, giants come in all shapes and forms. Sometimes they're people, sometimes they're circumstances, sometimes they're trials. But David displays that there is no enemy that's too strong. There are giants of disease, giants of disappointment, giants of depression, addiction, financial reversals, career setbacks, family breakdowns. I want to tell you, I had a family breakdown yesterday in the middle of Target. We took, We took our, you know, we have four children. We went to Target, and sometimes they're just little angels, and sometimes not so much. And in the middle of Target yesterday was one of those days. I don't know if your kids do this, but sometimes when we go to stores like this, Lily, the little one, she likes to go hide in the middle of the clothes racks. And you can't find her, and you're, Lily! And finally you hear somebody, you know, laughing. Another one's over here trying to get these bag of cookies or whatever, and you tell them no, and they fall down on the floor screaming and crying, and the other one's just running around, and where are your shoes? Why don't you have shoes on? You had shoes just a minute ago. I promise if I had hair, I'd be pulling it out right now. Sometimes we have family breakdowns. Sometimes we experience personal failures, and overcoming those is like fighting a giant. Brother David asked me before church tonight if usually have personal stories to go along with a lot of these messages, you know. So he asked me this evening if I fought a giant. And no, not literally, but I fought some giants of personal failures. Some of you may not know this, but I'm technically labeled a high school dropout. Not really, but if you look at my high school record, that's what it would say. See, I wasn't allowed to finish high school. Mom was really sick when I was about 10th grade, I think. Mom was really sick. She convinced the school board that she was terminally ill. She worked out an agreement with the school board and with the principal of my high school and my teachers that since she was going to die any day, that she needed somebody to be there to care for her. So she talked to them, and they worked out a deal where I would go on Mondays and pick up my assignments, then work on them, and then take them back to school on Fridays, and they would grade them, and I would get my education that way. I was a really good student. I could learn just by hearing the teacher talk, or just by reading what they had assigned. So I was learning, and everything went fine for about 3 weeks. And this agreement was fine, but somebody forgot to tell the registrar. So in Alabama, if you're not in school for a certain number of days, when you're a certain age, when you're 16, they write you out of school. Since you haven't been here, we assume that you aren't going to school here anymore. So I got a letter in the mail. We assume you've dropped out of school. Have a nice life. I probably could have protested that, but I was broken. Things weren't going so well for me anyway, so I just kind of gave up. And not long after that, I felt a call into ministry, and I did not know what I needed to do, because I was a high school dropout, and I went to my pastor, and I said, I'm just pleading, my heart's broken in front of him. I'm just telling him, I need to know what God wants me to do. I know he wants me to serve him, but I'm not prepared. And I promise you, he looked at me with all seriousness, and he said, Roger, you're not gay. And I thought for a second, we're not having the same conversation. No, see, I was trying to figure out what school, you know, what do I need to do about school? And long story short, that same summer that they wrote me out of high school, I got a GED, and my pastor took me to a school a couple of hours away, a Bible college, and I started Bible college. And it's been 19 years in the making. But on May 6th, I'm going to walk across a stage, and I'm going to punch that giant right in the throat. You see, with God, there is no enemy that is too strong. In this story, what drives everyone else is fear, but it's obvious that what is motivating David is faith. There is no enemy that's too strong. What are the giants that are happening in your life? What are the circumstances or obstacles? Just like David, you can look them square in the eye and say, you're going down. On this day, you're going down. There is no enemy that's too strong. The second truth that David would tell us about defeating giants is to realize that there is no weapon that is too weak. David is this 14 or 15-year-old shepherd boy. And when he goes before Saul, he's hearing murmurs in the camp, and people are saying, somebody's willing to fight. Maybe he's willing to fight. And so Saul calls for this person, and I'm sure he's a little disappointed when little old David showed up. And he literally, in verse 33, Saul says to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight him, for you are just a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. David, you're just a kid. This guy's been fighting battles longer than you've been alive. And David says, in essence, there's no weapon that is too weak in the hands of the Lord. David surrendered his life. I want you to notice in verse 37 that all through this chapter, people have been saying, Goliath had been saying, this is the army of Saul. You're the servants of Saul. This is the army of Israel. But David says, this is the army of the living God. See, everybody else's focus on the temporary, on the earthly, on the human element, David is focused on the heavenly kingdom. When you have a spiritual perspective like David, when you use practical faith, and you have a deliberate focus on the glory of God, there is no weapon that's too weak. I love the message that Brother David preached a couple weeks ago. Sometimes people say, we don't have enough faith to accomplish whatever. But he pointed out that if you just have a little bit of faith, just a little bit of faith, it's enough. There's no weapon that is too weak. Thirdly, David would say to us, there's no battle that is too big. I love what he says in verse 47. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And he will give you into my hands. There's no battle too big, David says. This battle is going to define the future of a nation. And it's in the hands of a shepherd boy, from all appearances. But David says, it's in the hands of a mighty God. Brothers and sisters, know that every circumstance that you face, all of the giants in your life are in the hands of a mighty God. They're in the hands of a mighty God. There's no enemy too strong, no weapon too weak, and there's no battle too big. I would say there's no battle too small either. You may think that your personal circumstance, the thing that you're struggling with, is too small for God to care about. Absolutely not true. If he takes enough time to know the number of the hairs on your head, how much more does he want to know the cares of your heart? There's no battle too big. There's no battle too small. You see, what's happening here in 1 Samuel 17 is a transition. Saul is waning. The Spirit of the Lord had departed from King Saul. He's hiding in fear. David steps out in faith and defeats this giant. Soon he would be anointed as king, and he would be the king of all Israel, the shepherd king from Bethlehem. This battle scene that we see here is foreshadowing of a greater battle. That we're champion in between. You and I have a champion that is in between also. You see, once there was a great enemy named Satan. There is a great enemy called sin and death. And our champion, the shepherd king from Bethlehem, stepped out onto that battlefield. And he did not use 5 smooth stones. It only took 3 driven nails. And he slew those giants. You see, David is fighting for victory for the nation. You and I face giants from victory on the cross. There can be no defeat. Will you face your giants in faith? Brothers and sisters, the battle is already won. There is no enemy too strong in your life. There is no weapon too weak in the hands of the Lord. And there's no battle that you face that's too big for Him. Giants will fall, brothers and sisters, when we see with eyes of faith and we step out onto that battlefield knowing that we already have victory. Tonight I would like to ask the pastor to come and Brother Phil and the musicians to come. I know that some of us in this room are fighting mighty battles even as we speak. And it may not seem like a mighty battle to you, but some of us are fighting for our families, for our schools, for our nation, for our own integrity. One thing that you don't see in this passage is that there are going to be 4 other giants that come and face David in the future. But David doesn't face those giants alone. His mighty men of valor step forward and they defeat those giants on his behalf. He doesn't face those giants alone. We are a church family here together to face the giants together. I want you to know that if you're struggling with something, please know that you can bring those struggles to the Lord. You can come and speak to the pastor. You can come and speak to me. We may not have the answers, but we know who does. He cares. He cares. Tonight, you may not know Christ. All of these things about victory, I want you to know that Jesus accomplished for you, and you can walk in victory, but you have to possess faith. It's a free gift that's offered even right now. Would you take it? As we sing our invitation, would you please stand?